Hello, and thanks for tuning in to the 10th and Broad Church of Christ podcast. Today's message is presented by Ken Holsberry, the preaching minister at the 10th and Broad Church. Let's tune in now for Ken's message.
Okay, does anybody know what an atlas is? If you know what an atlas is, raise your hand. When my boys were little and we traveled, that's what we used for directions. We had a big atlas, and you opened it up. It had every state in it. It had most of the major cities in it. And my boys actually liked to look at the atlas as they got older and kind of track along and see where we were as we were traveling. But to go back even further than that, how many of you remember the big fold-out maps that got that big? You still use them. Okay. We have somebody who lives in a retro world over here. And then how many of you remember trying to fold that map back up and get it back into that little rectangle? Okay, when I think about traveling as a kid, that's what I think about, is that map. Because when we would go on a trip, my daddy would get that map. The map I remember specifically is this big map of Texas, and it was creased in different places where he had folded and unfolded it so many times. He would lay that map out on the table, and he would decide which route we were going to use to get where we were going. And then do you remember this? He would have to look really, really close and find the little red numbers that indicated the number of miles between two points. And we'd have to tally those up and add them up to figure out how far the trip was and how long it was going to take. And then he would highlight the roads, and we would set off. And then somewhere along the way, a turn would be missed, an intersection would be passed through, and we would be lost. And so then my mama would be in the passenger seat trying to deal with this map to help my daddy know where to go. And then as my memory started going back, I remembered this. It was during the days of CBs. Everybody who was anybody had a CB radio in their vehicle. And we would always take trips with a big group of people. And so we'd have a caravan of cars, and they would be on the CB with each other. And the person in the lead had missed the turn, and everybody in their own cars had their maps out. And everybody's on the CB saying, "I think you missed the turn back there." And they're also saying, "Well, if you keep going, I think we can take a shortcut." And that's what it was like when you got lost when I was growing up. Nobody who just said redirecting, recalculating. Well, there are a lot of responses to lostness. Do you remember a few years ago when a group, I think it was of 12 soccer players and their 25-year-old coach got lost in a cave in Thailand? They were lost for 2 weeks. And over 1,000 people from 7 different countries, media outlets from around the world covered the story 24 hours a day. And after they were found, there were a lot of responses to lostness. Most people just celebrated and were thankful and glad that they had been found. But there were some people who wanted to blame and said, "Well, they should never have gone in that cave in the first place. What were they thinking?" Or they wanted to blame the 25-year-old coach. He was too young to be responsible for those kids. What was he thinking? Or they wanted to blame the parents. How could they ever have let them? Or they said, "Well, it cost too much. It took too many man hours and too much money." See, there are a lot of responses to lostness. Jesus is going to tell a story, and in it, we're going to see his response to lostness. Let's continue to worship our good shepherd. Well, in Luke chapter 15, Jesus tells several parables about lostness. And he's surrounded by a variety of people when he tells these parables. And there's a variety of responses to lostness. But Jesus is going to share with us the divine response to lostness. Luke chapter 15, just the first couple of verses, it says, tax collectors, and other notorious sinners. And so those are the spiritual nobodies. Tax collectors, notorious sinners, often came to listen to Jesus teach, and this made the Pharisees and the teachers of religious law, so those are the spiritual somebodies, it made them complain that he, talking about Jesus, was associating with such sinful people, even eating with them. So at this point, the biggest insult that they can find to throw at Jesus is that he's nice to sinful people and he eats with them. Verse 3, so Jesus told them this story. Now, it made me think, we tell stories to our kids when we want them to go to sleep. But Jesus told stories when he wanted people to wake up. So, wake up this morning, church, and listen to what Jesus is saying to you. If a man has 100 sheep and one of them gets lost, what will he do? Won't he leave the 99 others in the wilderness and go to search for the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he will joyfully carry it home on his shoulders. And when he arrives, he will call together his friends and his neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me because I have found my lost sheep." In the same way, there is more joy in heaven over one lost sinner who repents and returns to God than over 99 others who are righteous and haven't strayed away. So the story, the parable, is about a shepherd and about his sheep. And Jesus is the shepherd, and you are the sheep. Because when Jesus talks about people who already have a relationship with God, the metaphor that he most often uses is sheep. In our language today, we would say Jesus, when he talks about sheep, he's talking about church people. He might even say, and there were 100 people in a church, and one wandered away. Jesus is the shepherd, we are the sheep. And the sheep wandered off, one of them wandered off, one of them got lost, because that's what sheep do. They wander, and they go astray, and they get lost. Sheep don't really rebel as much as they just wander. And it doesn't make the sheep innocent, though. It just makes the sheep ignorant. Because sheep step into things they shouldn't step into. And sheep get tangled up in things that they shouldn't get tangled up in. And they get in messes that they shouldn't be in. And before they know it, they look up and they look around and they've wandered. And they're lost. And they're further away than they realized. They're not where they used to be. They're not where they want to be. And they're not sure how to get back home. Maybe somebody in this room is there this morning. I'm not where I used to be. Not where I want to be. And I'm not sure how to get back home. You didn't wake up and decide that you were going to rebel against God. But you may have woke up and looked around and realized you've wandered. It may be that you find yourself caught up in an emotional affair. It started innocently enough. It was never your intention. But before you know it, you realize You're not where you used to be, not where you want to be, not sure how to get back home. You may have wandered into substance abuse. Maybe it was a prescription for pain and made you feel good. You thought you could use a little more of that. Before you knew it, you were looking for ways to get more of it. You're not where you used to be. You're not where you want to be. Not sure how to get back home. Maybe you and your friends, some of your friends convinced you one Friday night to head across the river and have some fun at the casino. You weren't going to lose any more than this certain amount. But there was something thrilling about it. And before you realized it, you looked up and every Friday night you're heading across the river. And you're in more debt than anybody knows. Not where you used to be, not where you want to be, not sure how to get back home. Maybe you started watching church back during COVID-19, and you were glad for the opportunity, glad that it was available. But before you know it, 2 years has gone by, and you've never, ever gathered with the church since. That wasn't your intention. You're not where you used to be. Not where you want to be. Not sure how to get back home. Maybe you realize when you were in high school, you were on fire for the Lord. When you were in college, you were connected to God and you had this great group of Christian friends. But time and a job and kids and responsibility have just worn away your commitment. And you're just going through the motions. You realize, I'm not where I used to be. Not where I want to be. I'm not sure how to get back home. Well, I think there are two general ways that we as sheep wander. And one of them is that we get distracted. Distractions are a big reason that we wander. And it may just be the distraction of life in general. It may be bills that are piling up. It may be that work is really hard and requires a lot of your time. It may be that your relationships are difficult. It may be that you just honestly are just very, very comfortable. Maybe you're distracted by some kind of pleasure. And before you know it, Jesus has been relegated from the front seat to the back seat. And then you realize he's not even in the car with you anymore. And you're not where you used to be. You're not where you want to be. You don't know how to get back home. So sometimes it's distractions. Also, sometimes it's deceptions. We get deceived into wandering away. We get told a lie by the enemy and we believe it. And that lie may be that I know God is loving and I know he loves other people, but I'm just not sure whether he loves me. We get deceived and we start to wonder. It may be that you know what God says about sexuality, about marriage, but my friends and all the people on the shows I watch do it, and God is graceful, so what can it hurt? Or maybe you just get deceived and you think, you know what? Church people just wouldn't understand what I'm going through. Because they don't have the same kind of problems I have. Their lives are not as messed up as mine is. They don't have the same kind of temptations. They don't have the same kind of history. It's a lie from the enemy. We get distracted, we get deceived, and we look up and we have wandered. So whatever it might look like for you, whatever greener pasture looked good to you, somewhere along the way you look up and you just realize you're further away than you thought you were. that thing that you have wandered into has taken you further and kept you longer and has cost you more than you ever realized that it would. You're not where you used to be and not where you want to be, and you're just not sure how to get back home. If that is the case, there's good news. And the good news is that this story is not actually about lost sheep. Now, your little heading in your Bible probably says that, but the headings aren't inspired. Somebody wrote that there to help us out. But really, this story is not about a lost sheep. What this story is about is a really good shepherd. That's what the story is about. A shepherd who is better at finding than you are at wandering. See, the story that Jesus tells isn't this story. It's not, there was a sheep that wandered away, it got lost, it got ate by a wolf, so all the rest of you don't ever wander again. See, that's the way that story would be told if the Brothers Grimm wrote it. But that's not the way that Jesus told the story. It's a story about a shepherd who went looking and found the lost sheep and carried it back on his shoulders. And so you probably have seen a picture of a shepherd carrying a sheep, a lamb, on its shoulders. I want you to get a picture in your mind of Jesus this morning from this parable. And the first thing is that I want you to recognize about Jesus. In your picture of Jesus, I want you to see that Jesus notices. Jesus notices. He is paying attention. He is watching over his flock. He is watching over his people. And he notices what's going on in our life. He notices where we are and what we're doing. And it's not to get us, it's not to punish us, it's to take care of us. That's the kind of noticing that he is doing. And so when a sheep gets lost, Jesus notices right away. Second thing I want you to have in your mind as you picture Jesus as your good shepherd is, he goes. Jesus doesn't just notice and write it down in a book, put it on his prayer list, tell somebody else. No, Jesus gets up and he goes. He goes searching. He goes looking. He leaves the rest of the sheep and he goes to find the one who is lost. And he carries. Jesus notices and Jesus goes and Jesus carries. He carries you back on his back. And to me, that is one of the clearest, most beautiful pictures of the gospel that you'll ever see. Is in this parable. Because see, if it were me and I went and found you, I would want to give you a good talking to. And I'd want to preach you a good sermon. And I'd want you to tell me how you got here. And I'd want to make sure you'd learned your lesson. And then I'd say, okay, get up. Let's go back. That's not the way Jesus tells the story. The way Jesus tells the story is when he finds you, he picks you up. And he carries you. And it's not by your human endeavor. We just sang it. It's not by you learning your lesson. Although, usually it's in the lostness that we learn our lesson. It's not by our effort. It's on his back that we get saved. So Jesus notices and Jesus goes and Jesus carries. And then the fourth thing I want you to see as you picture Jesus as your good shepherd is Jesus celebrates. Do you picture Jesus as a guy who celebrates? It doesn't say he begrudgingly carries the sheep back. It says he joyfully carries the sheep back. And when he gets back, he doesn't get back to the fold and say, okay, everybody, Ken's back again. No, he says, come on, let's get everybody together and let's throw a party and let's celebrate because a lost sheep has been found and I've brought him back home. That's the picture of Jesus in the parable. So the question I want to ask you this morning, or questions I want to ask you this morning, is where do you find yourself in this story? Are you in the 99? A lot of you are. That's good. That's good. That's where you're supposed to be, right? You're in the 99. You haven't wandered away. There may have been a time in your life where you wandered, but you found your way home. Jesus brought you back home, and you're here. So what should you do? And the thing that I know that I need to hear is that I need to find the joy that Jesus has in lost people being found. I need to rejoice and join the party that Jesus throws whenever a lost person is found and brought home. When a lost brother or sister who had wandered away cries out and Jesus finds them and brings them home, I want to join the party. There's a lot of responses to lostness. I don't want to be the guy who casts blame or who says, was it worth the cost, or says he should have never been there anyway. I want to be the person who rejoices with Jesus. That's what I want to learn. Connect my heart back to God's heart. And honestly, one of the things I love about this church through the decades has been, this is something I just recently told someone, I got to do a podcast about Awaken. And they asked me, well, tell me about 10th and Broad. What do you want people to know about 10th and Broad? And I said, 10th and Broad is a grace-filled church. And I've seen it over and over and over as I've seen people who had wandered and who had gotten lost and who were suffering the consequences show up, and you embraced them and you loved them and you walked with them and you helped them and you prayed for them and you spent time with them, and they were healed. I've seen it over and over. I can see faces and I can see names of people who were healed and found life again as God's person because of you. I love that about this church. I just want us to be that more and more and more. So maybe you find yourself in the 99. Or maybe you find yourself as the one sheep who has wandered. And you've stumbled into something. You've gotten tangled up in something. You've looked up, and you're just further away than you thought you were. And you've been there longer than you thought you would be. And maybe it's because you got distracted. Maybe it's because you got deceived. But you're not where you used to be, and you're not where you want to be. And you're not sure how to get back home. If you're not sure if that's where you are, let me ask you a couple of questions. What has your picture of God been lately? What's your view of God like? Because when we wander, it's not uncommon for us to begin to think about God in two extremes. One is either we just think he's very distant, and yeah, he has mercy, but that mercy could never reach me. That's one extreme. And then the other extreme is because we've wandered from God, we want to end up getting mad at God. And so we just find reasons to be angry with him. And honestly, we don't like to hear good things about him. If you're at one of those extremes, I'm just saying it may be that you have wandered. Another question I want to ask you, just to get you to think about if you have wandered, if you're one of the one, is what's your picture of the church, of the Christian community? Because it's really easy to become cynical and skeptical about God's people when we've wandered from God's people. So here's the big question. If you have wandered, if you're the one, how do you get home? And the answer is so very simple. When a sheep gets lost, a sheep does one thing. They cry out. See, a sheep doesn't have any resources to get unlost. If a sheep's tangled up, it doesn't have resources to cut itself out or to pull out a folded map and figure out how to get home. See, a sheep can only do one thing when it is lost. And it cries out. And it cries out until somebody hears. And if you have wondered, if you this morning, the Holy Spirit is just working on your heart right now that you are not where you used to be, and you are not where you want to be, and you don't know how to get home, you do what a lost sheep does, and you cry out to Jesus. That's all you have to do. The parable assures you that he is already noticed. He's already going to look. He's ready to carry you, and he wants to celebrate. Just cry out to Jesus. Call on his name. And he'll bring you home. There's not anything else for you to do. And while you're crying out, believe he's going to come. Trust him that he's going to get you. So I want us to give some time this morning to cry out to Jesus. I'm going to ask our elders and their wives to go to the back of the room. We're going to stand and we're going to sing a song here in a few minutes. If you've wandered and you're ready to come home, you're ready to cry out to Jesus, don't let this morning go by without following up on that. And here's the thing. Cry out to Jesus. He's the one who will find you and save you. But the reason I'm having these folks in the back is whenever Jesus finds you, he brings you back to the church. He brings you back to people. He doesn't save you so you can just keep having a one-on-one relationship with him only. See, the only time a sheep is alone is when it's lost. And so if you have wandered and you're ready to cry out to Jesus, let these folks know. And when you finished, and when we're finished, go find you one of these faith communities. See, Jesus brings you back to the fold, and back to relationships, back to people who can help you and who've wandered themselves, who knows what it's like, who will love you and walk with you. So would you stand? And would you cry out to Jesus as we sing this song?